Welcome to Owning the Future of Healthcare, a podcast from Health Catalyst, your leading provider of data and analytics technology and services to healthcare organizations.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Owning the Future of Healthcare, a Health Catalyst podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Litwin, the voice of B2B. And folks, thanks so much for joining us on another episode of the show. We appreciate you listening along to some care industry thought leadership. As we maneuver today's topic, make sure that you're heading to our website, healthcatalyst.com/empower. Again, healthcatalyst.com/empower for more information on the various topics and trends that we're going to be breaking down today, but also for some more Health Catalyst content, including episodes of the show, videos, articles, blogs, and more. Also, make sure that you're subscribing to Owning the Future of Healthcare on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just hit that subscribe button and you'll have a full catalog of audio-only episodes, plus notifications when we drop new ones. So for today's episode of Owning the Future of Healthcare, we're getting deep on clinical analytics, and we're going to be playing off of some recent big picture conversations around how data platforms and strategies are shaping various care needs as well as care solutions. Clinical analytics are, to define a little more clearly, real-time medical data that feed from hubs like EHRs and EMRs in general are being used to inform various touch points in care, everything from reducing medication errors to improving general population health, and of course, cost savings across the organization. So what we're wanting to do with our conversation today is lay out some of the most timely trends that are shaping clinical analytics today, and that can be both the acquisition of clinical analytics as well as the use of said data. And what we're wanting to do is offer some insights around what is and what isn't providing value for professional caregivers today and give you the big why as to why. So for insights today, we're joined by one of our most decorated thought leaders at the company. I'm pleased to welcome Chief Clinical Officer, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Clinical Quality Analytics at Health Catalyst, Holly Ramosh. Holly, great to have you on. How are you doing today?
Thanks. I'm doing great. Thanks, Dan. I'm excited to talk more about this important topic. So thanks, Dick.
Absolutely. And, just for a little more context for our audience, we've been doing a lot of conversations here on the show where we've discussed at a high level how different cutting edge technologies or data hubs are impacting care and impacting some of the difficult decisions to be made around the future of healthcare. And so I think what our conversation is going to do here is just get even more granular around where that data is coming from, why we should be strategizing around it, and where those touch points are where the data is proving to be most useful. So Holly, you've been in the healthcare industry now for about 3 decades, and you've gained a lot of relevant experience in a variety of positions. So for more context for our audience here, that includes everything from direct patient care to clinical and operational healthcare strategy, as well as various management roles. So Holly, my first question for you is, during your tenure in the industry, what would you say have been some of the most critical advancements to how care organizations acquire their clinical data? So again, most critical advancements to how organizations are acquiring said clinical data. What are your thoughts there?
Well, clearly, I've been in healthcare, as you mentioned, a long time. And, I think the inception of the EMR has been a big acquisition of clinical data, which we never had before. I worked at Intermountain Healthcare when we actually built our first EMR. It made a big difference as we brought the data in and started to understand how to use that data, which we didn't have before. Obviously, there's a lot of other areas where we can acquire clinical data today. We have a lot of workflow processes, imaging, laboratory systems. All these systems actually contribute to understanding clinical analytics. And I will also mention that another important aspect is thinking about data along the continuum. So making sure we get ambulatory data in, which we're getting from EMRs, but we're getting from multiple systems. And some of the systems we work with, bring in 80 or 90 different sources around clinical data that helps us make decisions about that, as well as thinking about payment data that helps us understand the continuum of care. So claims data is another important aspect. It doesn't have the specific specifics of someone getting a shot at a certain time, but it certainly helps you understand the outcomes.
Now, playing off of that, right, that's the acquisition of data. What about the use of said data? In those 30-ish years you've been in the industry, where have you seen the most critical advancements to once organizations intake that data, how they actually use it? And these can be, you know, either changes for better, for worse, you know, just give us your lay of the land.
Well, I will say one of the things that makes me smile is, you know, when we get all this data, then the question is, what do we do with this data?
Right.
And I think that focusing is really, and we can talk more about that. But, you know, as you think about healthcare, what is the mission of healthcare? Mission of healthcare is to focus on health, right, and improve health. And as you mentioned, from that value proposition is giving the right care at the right time to the right person, in the right setting, et cetera, and doing it at the most appropriate cost. That's what we all need as we think about the value of healthcare and how much we have an obligation for health. So as I think about healthcare analytics and how systems are looking and using that, they are using that every aspect of that from the prevention perspective. So, you know, we know that we're preventing certain conditions like heart failure, or how do we do better with understanding specifics around analytics to target an individual that is at risk to develop diabetes, which has a huge impact on their life, all the way through to the treatment, sometimes, hopefully more often than not, the cure, all the way to the end of life where we talk about palliative care. And what are some of the decisions in using analytics to understand best practices on outcomes? And I will also mention what I didn't talk about before is bringing in engagement information from the patient, right? Was this good for them? Was this good for the clinician are also important aspects. And as I think about it, you know, there are really kind of two aspects as I watch healthcare systems using this data and analytics to help care. One is targeted right to the individual patient. You know, we take care of people. I go into the doctor, you go into the doctor, we go into the hospital, we have procedures, having analytics help target where you might be at risk for something which you would want to prevent, or an interaction with medications or those types of things. And that's a really important aspect. But as I mentioned, I worked in and around healthcare for a long time, and I started care management in the hospital back in the 80s. And I didn't know what it really was. And as I recognized what was happening, I recognized that I just kept fixing the same problem over and over again. So for instance, I was in a cardiovascular unit and I had heart failure patients. And I noticed that they were having these readmissions. And so I was trying to do the same things over and over again, like, okay, let me call the doctor, or let me schedule an appointment. When we started to get data and analytics, I was able actually to look at the trends, what was happening, understand the variation, and look at the data associated with the outcomes. And what we recognized is that patients actually needed that follow-up appointment within 7 days. And we were just saying, hey, call your doctor and let us know, right? So we changed the practices. And using data and analytics, we actually understood that high-risk patients, people that were really sick, we used data and analytics to try to target and understand who they were so we could intervene, needed an appointment within 3 days. So that's a very good example of taking individual care and going more towards a population or condition using these analytics and improving care for that entire population of patients going through versus trying to fix it one by one.
Well, this is another question that we've asked most of our guests on the program, so I'm going to toss it your way as well. But basically what you're laying out is mostly positives, right? Wins where we've seen data transform, you know, the kind of insights that we can make, both how to prepare for them and then how to actually execute them in a more efficient manner. But of course, there's always room to improve. So I'm curious where you see clinical analytics not being maximized to their fullest extent across U.S. care organizations today, and why? Let's start on the care side, right? So, in the actual day-to-day operations of care, where do you see data not being maximized today, and why, in your opinion?
Well, you know, one of the things that has been really great, we talked about having the EHR or the, you know, electronic medical record system, and you know, one of the great things it does is it has these alerts, which is based on sometimes analytics. We talked about targeting high-risk patients. One of the things that I think is a challenge is how to prioritize how many, you know, how many outreaches you do to the care team, right? Because once you get too many outreaches and say, here's an alert, here's a reminder, here's the daily care stuff, you start to actually ignore those things because you can't handle, you know, 40 alerts a day. And so I think using data and analytics to actually understand where are the most important areas to focus on is one of the things that many healthcare systems are focusing on with, you know, with care. I think the other thing is we hear a lot about AI and machine learning, and those are really important. But what we've learned is it has to be very targeted using your local data, and that you know, you have to use it in the right way. I think we have a pie in the sky, and we hopefully will get better and better at AI. But you have to understand the workflow of clinicians and patients as they go through. And if it doesn't really help, it creates noise that is not specific. Clinicians won't use it to help improve care every day. And so I think those are two areas where I see a lot of learning and a lot of challenges, but there are some really great things on the cusp.
And then just to offer the other side of that, which is data impacting operations as well as the business side of care. In a lot of ways, the wins that you'd get on that side also come from you know, positive engagement with data on the clinician's side or on the care professional side. So feel free to, you know, draw some parallels there as well. But just more generally, when you see data feed into the business side of care, where are you seeing there not being a maximization of data on that end of things? And why do you see them as the same whys as on the clinical side? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think one of the things you see is actually when you think about, again, going back to healthcare and you're thinking about what are we doing? We're taking care of people. We've got the patient to engage. We've got the clinicians to engage and in the process. And we have the business and the operations. I would say that we're seeing more and more focus on using data and analytics to help some of those operational business side of the concept, like labor. You know, that's a really, it's a very important aspect of healthcare, but it's really expensive, and how we manage that, how we staff that. I think we're seeing more healthcare systems trying to use analytics to understand, be predictive. And, you know, during COVID was a really interesting process, right? So I was leading our task force, and you know, within a very short time, we had hundreds of projects that were happening at these organizations, and a lot of them were around the operational component. And we recognized that using data analytics and using some AI to actually predict what their volumes would be actually helped them, not only from a supply perspective, but also from a staffing perspective in understanding when they would think they were going to have some surges based on all the things that we knew to continue to build in the AI perspective. And so this like COVID actually really showed us the ability to use analytics in it to turn around faster in a way to be able to respond to things that we knew were coming as we learned through the process.
All right, Holly, thanks for all that context so far. What I want to do now is take our conversation and get a little bit more granular and draw some other comparisons to paint a better picture of where we're at in our process of intaking quality data and putting it to work in care. So this is another point that I've brought up on some conversations here on the show, but I want to expand the scope of the conversation by doing a bit of a compare and contrast with our health systems and other countries' health systems. So I'm curious if you see any significant differences between how countries with a nationalized care system like UK, Canada, any of the Scandinavian countries, how that differs in their ability to intake and use data effectively and with efficacy compared to the privately run care systems here in the US. Do you see there being any specific challenges or opportunities that come up when you have a centralized care operation that you just don't see without said centralization?
Yeah, and we actually do some work with the UK, Asia, Singapore, and they have some of these systems. It's been interesting to watch. One thing is the advantage is they actually have the data and they have, you know, they have an ability to kind of aggregate the data in broader perspectives. I think in the US, we have so many different systems they have an ability to integrate more of the continuum of the data across. I will say that one of the challenges that I do see in some of the international group that we work with and, you know, that have more centralized is the use of the data, like the ability to actually use that data in a broader perspective. So I think it's like the ability not to, as we think about benchmarking and, you know, in COVID, we wanted to do some worldwide benchmarking, right? I think some of these national healthcare systems, that's a real challenge for them. Like, do they send their data out? You know, what is the rights of the data? And certainly some universal things we see across is security of the data is big. We know healthcare data is, that's one of the big concerns in the national. They feel very, and we do, I think private companies feel too, but I think that's one of their biggest concerns in there. But on the other hand, I think worldwide, globally, you see the need and want to integrate data and learn around the world, make it a global ecosystem. And I think one of the things that we're learning from national healthcare systems is they've standardized some of the data that they're bringing in so that they can actually benchmark within their system, which is easier to do than many of our private systems across in the United States.
There's also some big picture news that is moving the industry along. Some of it is really high profile. You know, some of it's a little more granular. But basically, I want to throw out some more timely news that is moving the industry forward just to frame the future of clinical analytics and get your expert thoughts on a few things. So let's actually start with pretty close to home. And I want to highlight some Health Catalyst news. Health Catalyst had some big news last week when it bought patient engagement platform company Twistle for $104.5 million. The goal there for Health Catalyst is to expand population health capabilities for various care organizations that are embracing value-based care. So this is an investment specifically around supporting organizations who are embracing value-based care. So my question here for you, Holly, is why does Health Catalyst see value in this kind of patient engagement data? And what are some of the domino effects that Health Catalyst sees from supporting and enabling that data and how it impacts the rest of the care organization and its operations?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just mention kind of two that that have come to mind right away. First of all, you mentioned how important it is to population health, but the voice of the patient is really important as we think about data and analytics. I mean, today we have a lot of applications, we have a lot of things, and how do we bring in the voice of the patient into understanding data analytics? And that's one thing we see as an opportunity with Twizzle as we think about that. The other thing that's really important as we've learned and we're excited about the integration of Twizzle is that as I talked about clinical analytics from talking about prevention, you know, to the end of life, and you look at all that stuff between, there's procedures like surgical procedures, there's a lot of things. How do we communicate to the patient? And so it's not only about data and analytics, it's about how what we do to change to actually improve care, improve the process, and then use data analytics to measure and ongoing. So Twizzle's opportunity to reach out to a patient and say, hey, you have a sleep study, you know, please do these, or you're getting ready for surgery. So as we think about building analytics on best practices, Twizzle is a way to actually facilitate and move and actually change the needle to hardwire the process of improving care. And when we use the overall analytics to look at the impact of that. So we're excited. I think there are a lot of different ways we think about it, but to me, the voice of the patient is really important as we think about analytics. And I think, you know, one of the future analytics, how do we provide analytics back to patients? How do we allow them to see their data? I think we're seeing some areas where, you know, that you can say, patients like me, this is what it looked like in 5 years, to help you make decisions about where you go. And I think Twizzle can be one of those technologies that can help us as we think about our journey.
In that acquisition was also an emphasis on supporting care organizations that are embracing value-based care specifically. Can you intersect data with that trend and movement that we're seeing in the industry? Basically, where do you see data needing to support value-based care the most? And how do you see the Health Catalyst and Twistle combo supporting that intake of data?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you think about it, I think about a couple things. Care management, which is a critical component of the value-based care process. I mean, you know, that you have to understand your contract and your finances. I don't see Twizzles being a big part of that component, but it's a really important part of the measurement that we're doing. But it's really around kind of that care management component where we're looking at understanding kind of risk stratification of your population to understand where we want to target our finite resources to help people manage their health. And so that's part of the Twizzle process, the engagement of the process, engagement of the patient, in the process to actually be an active part to moving towards health and, you know, effective outcomes in there. In process. So that's part of what we see really critical in there. And again, you know, we're right now in healthcare in a lot of areas, we're very manual in that process. So we say, okay, we've identified someone high risk in a value based, you know, that's in our population, the contract. We know they have diabetes, hypertension, all those type of things. You know, we've now automated some of the workflow with a care management tool around there in many different ways, but then how do you reach out to the patient? And right now that's highly manual, and Twizzle makes that more of an automated process, both for the patient and convenience sake and for the provider that is taking the risk.
Thank you for the follow-up context there. I've got two more timely stories here that I want your thoughts on real quick so that we can get to some wrap-up conversations here before the end of our show. But the other story I want to highlight is coming out of Amazon. So Amazon Web Services is actually launching a healthcare accelerator, aka a startup incubator, with the vision to support companies that are innovating around care analytics. And that includes everything from remote patient monitoring to patient engagement, voice-activated technology, virtual and telehealth, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm curious, where in this ecosystem of care analytics do you envision AWS might see the most ROI from a startup investment? Basically, where is there a lot of energy around innovative technologies creating a lot of opportunities for data use? And what do you think that signals about the future of care analytics?
Well, there's a lot of people getting in. Amazon's getting in. There's a lot of people getting healthcare. What we're seeing, though, is they're targeting. And I think what at Health Catalyst, I think we totally believe, and I believe totally, is that we need to work together to create the solution, the integrated healthcare solution. And the idea of having an open platform, so we also allow people to build on our platform and using that data to create that is probably the answer. No, not one company is going to be the answer for this. And I think it really comes down to that platform. We've been talking about how do we get, you know, particularly during COVID, we've used it as an opportunity to work with many other companies to talk about how do we create a single patient identifier so that we can do this kind of work. So I think Amazon is going to have a piece of things. I think, you know, Microsoft's been doing some things that are very interesting, and actually a lot of other you know, places are getting into it with the application. So how do we bring this data together in a way that is helpful, secure, and that we work together? So I think that's a really important aspect of that. So we would work with, I would say we work with Amazon if we felt like there was a way that could resolve and get to where our mission is to improve lives.
I hope they're watching. Make note of that, Amazon. I love it. Just to keep things on big tech, Google also has some movement in the healthcare space as of late. They announced, or at least Google Cloud announced, a partnership with HCA Healthcare. And this is a partnership specifically to elevate clinical decision support technologies, so tech in the field. And that includes the company's 90,000 mobile devices, which currently support HCA Healthcare's network of 93,000 nurses and 47,000 active and affiliated physicians, which is a lot of technologies passing between a lot of hands. So just to ground this around medical devices in the field specifically, how do you see said technologies impacting the ecosystem of care data, and where should they be leveraged to really provide some proactive data insights in that larger ecosystem?
Yeah, I anticipate we're going to have a lot more, data available in there. To me, you know, one of the most important things a healthcare system should think about doing is building a platform, which is the gold standard. And I would say that some of this information is data to be brought in, to be asking questions around the related process, both operational, business, and clinical processes, without that integration of data. So having standalone data sources or big data sources, it's difficult to ask those questions along the way if you're looking at what does all this come together, you know, because we should be really centered around the individual. And how do we bring the data around? My colleague, Dale Sanders, he has this cartoon and it has him in the middle and it has all this data on the outside. It really should be brought into place where we can ask the questions around that individual. And, you know, other data we're going to be looking at is, look at all the biological data that we're learning and about, you know, we're down to the RNA, DNA kind of sequence. That's the kind of data we bring in. So I would say that, again, I would see that as an important aspect in moving forward and understanding, learning about Google and HCA. But the reality is when you're working as a healthcare system, you need to bring that system together, clinical, operational, and business data to understand where it is. It just needs to be centered around the individual and the care that we give.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that mentality is going to drive a really positive engagement with new tools, technologies, and data intake that, I think is just reasonable insight at any level of care today, is really centering the individual, centering the patient, and the physician as well as what they need. So to wrap, what I want to do is intersect some of these various touch points of clinical analytics that you've broken down for us with a few structural trends that are shaping care today. These are mostly seen by care providers as improvements to our care systems, but regardless, they bring in some challenges around data intake, data analysis, and then subsequent data action. So let's get your thoughts on these. First one is shift from fee-for-service reimbursements to value-based purchasing, which right now is pushing more care organizations to focus on decreasing their costs while improving their quality and then getting rewarded for doing so. In that shift over to more value-based purchasing at scale, where do you think this transition is in need of the most clinical data support and why?
Well, I think understanding the total cost of care, like the whole total cost of care for conditions. So, you know, I think, it's no longer okay to just have, we're taking care of this episode in the hospital and that's the value-based care. And then understanding that actually by doing more primary care, you can actually improve your total cost of care and improve an outcome. So I would say that's really one thing that clinical data and value-based care has changed. It's no longer okay to look at episodic by together. You need to look at the whole thing and understand. Because if you really truly believe in value-based care, you're giving the best care at the lowest appropriate cost. And I would say the other thing is that many organizations, as we value care, they'll focus on the business side of this. The reality is the biggest opportunity is focusing on improvement of care, clinical care. And you can have significant savings by doing the right things. And it doesn't mean just only, you know, deciding when you're going to, do a procedure or those kind of things. It's really understanding like things like operational, like you talked about in there, like, does this device really help? By using this, is there a difference in the outcomes by using this really expensive thing? In blood utilization, one thing that, we've seen is like, actually the guidelines, we don't really give them around what we think is best practice. So decreasing that variation actually improves the cost as much as we've seen anything in the improvement thing for value-based care.
And sort of in this larger push towards value-based care is also value-based insurance design or VBID. And just quick summary of that for those unaware is a design structure where providers pay increased costs for specific patient populations earlier on in the care cycle to basically pad the costs that could come later in their care cycle and therefore reduce costs for later care. So I'm curious, Holly, how you see value-based insurance design creating any challenges in data intake or data management, how to actually put that data to work in the right way, and does it run up against any barriers to care that care organizations in general are trying to overcome?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I think, you know, we watch this play out a little bit because, I mean, I've lived through a multitude of insurance type of value-based care kind of components, and there's always a soft underbelly of that. So, you know, you have a tendency to optimize around the cost structure. In the end, you know, it goes back to understanding total care. So, you know, if you're, you know, kind of padding things up front, the best thing to do is understand the total process of care so that you don't create a negative incentive later, that you don't create, you know, you don't provide what is that the patient needs at the end. So I really think we probably have to play this out a little bit and see where I see some positive opportunities. And I think that the concept is being proactive and how do we get proactive and being creative in the way we think about it. I don't think we have to think about it in the way we have currently thought about healthcare. That's one of the things that analytics is helping us understand, is that sometimes what we think is happening is really not happening when we start looking at data and analytics. So I guess we'll learn a lot there. I'll be interested to learn more about that too.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, this last year and a half has shown us that the tried and true methods aren't always going to be so tried and aren't always going to be so true forever. So, you know, we got to be willing to adapt, and especially in care, and especially in the U.S., there are so many areas for improvement in our broader care operations. So I think with the help of folks like Health Catalyst and with you supporting endeavors at the company, we'll see some positive shifts in the future. And I'm curious to see how these trends that we honestly just broke down for a couple minutes today are going to play out in their entirety. So I'm sure we'll have some follow-up conversations to do that, to get a little deeper. But till then, Holly Ramosh, thank you so much for your time today, helping us better understand how clinical analytics in general are shaping care, where those barriers are to putting that data to work in a holistic way, and what care organizations can be doing to get over those gaps and to put that data to work. So again, we've been chatting with Holly Ramosh, Chief Clinical Officer, Senior Vice President, and General Manager of Clinical Quality Analytics at Health Catalyst. And Holly, if folks want to find out a little bit more about the work that Health Catalyst is doing in this space, how can they learn more and how can they get in touch?
Well, go to our website. I think as we you mentioned earlier, we have a ton of improvement opportunities around clinical, a lot of education there. And feel free to reach out, and there is an extra place you can ask questions and we'll respond to you.
Perfect. Holly, thank you so much for your time. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
And thank you everyone for watching this episode of Owning the Future of Healthcare, a Health Catalyst podcast. If you like what you heard and saw and want some previous episodes or just some more general information on how Health Catalyst is supporting this side of the industry, make sure that you're heading to our website, healthcatalyst.com/empower. Again, healthcatalyst.com/empower for more information on everything we broke down today. And of course, some more Health Catalyst content. You can also subscribe to Owning the Future of Healthcare on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I'm your host, Daniel Litwin, the voice of B2B, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Owning the Future of Healthcare.